Greetings, dear listeners, and welcome to the inaugural episode of the Not Alan Watts podcast, where we embark upon a delectable journey through the tantalizing world of food. In this episode, we shall explore the profound and often quirky intersections between gastronomy and philosophy as we sink our teeth into five unique culinary topics. From the perplexing case of the easy peeler to the zen-like simplicity of the plain cheese pizza, we shall unravel the complex web of meaning that lies hidden within the seemingly mundane acts of cooking, eating, and labeling our food. We will ponder the deeper significance of the humble pepper pot, question the cultural obsession with steak, and find enlightenment in the imperfections of a burnt piece of toast. As we navigate these gastronomic landscapes, we may find ourselves grappling with questions that strike at the very heart of the human experience. Is the pursuit of novelty and complexity in our food a reflection of our own insatiable desire for stimulation and validation? Does the way we label and categorize our fruits and vegetables reveal a deeper disconnect from the natural world that sustains us? We shall approach these questions with a sense of playful curiosity and a willingness to challenge our preconceptions. We may discover that the answers we seek are not always found in the grand philosophical expositions of the ages, but rather in the simple, everyday acts of peeling a mandarin, grinding pepper, or buttering a piece of toast. Through these culinary meditations, we may come to appreciate the profound beauty and complexity that lies hidden within the seemingly ordinary moments of our lives. We may learn to cultivate a greater sense of mindfulness and presence, to savor the flavors and textures of our food with a sense of reverence and gratitude. So, dear listeners, let us embark upon this gastronomic odyssey with open minds and eager palates. Let us explore the rich tapestry of human experience that is woven through the fabric of our food, and let us find nourishment not only for our bodies but for our souls as well. This is the real secret of life: to be completely engaged with what you are doing in the here and now, and instead of calling it work, realize it is play. So, listen to this episode with a sense of amusement and wonder as we explore the profound and often humorous intersections between food and philosophy. Welcome to the delicious world of the Not Alan Watts podcast. The Mindful Slice: Finding Enlightenment in a Classic Cheese Pizza. In the grand tapestry of life, we often find ourselves entangled in the pursuit of complexity, constantly seeking to adorn our experiences with an ever-growing array of frills and extras. This insatiable desire for intricacy has permeated every aspect of our existence, and the realm of gastronomy is no exception. In the world of pizza, a simple dish born from humble beginnings, we have witnessed an explosion of toppings, each vying for our attention and claiming to elevate the pizza to new heights of culinary ecstasy. However, amidst this cacophony of flavors and textures, one cannot help but wonder if we have strayed too far from the essence of what makes a pizza truly great. The plain cheese pizza, in its unassuming modesty, stands as a testament to the beauty of minimalism. It is a canvas upon which the fundamental elements of dough, sauce, and cheese come together in a harmonious dance, each component allowed to shine in its own right. The crust, the foundation upon which the entire pizza rests, is given the space to express its character, a delicate interplay of crisp exterior and soft, chewy interior. The sauce, a vibrant tomato essence, imparts a subtle sweetness and tanginess that perfectly complements the richness of the cheese. And the cheese. Oh, the cheese! A blanket of melted perfection, stretching and pulling with each bite, enveloping the tongue in a symphony of creamy satisfaction. In the pursuit of novelty and excitement, we often overlook the profound gratification that can be derived from simplicity. The plain cheese pizza is a reminder that true gratification lies not in the endless accumulation of toppings, but in the appreciation of the essential elements that make a dish truly remarkable. It is a lesson in mindfulness, encouraging us to be present in the moment and fully immerse ourselves in the sensory experience of each bite. When we strip away the distractions of countless toppings, we create space for a deeper connection with the food we consume. We begin to notice the nuances in flavor, the interplay of textures, and the subtle variations that make each pizza unique. The plain cheese pizza becomes a meditative experience, a chance to slow down and savor the uncomplicated joys that life has to offer. Moreover, the plain cheese pizza serves as a metaphor for the elegance of minimalism in all aspects of life, in a world that constantly bombards us with stimuli, urging us to seek more, do more, and be more. The plain cheese pizza stands as a quiet rebellion. It reminds us that true happiness and fulfillment often lie in the embrace of the uncomplicated, the unadorned, and the authentic. This is not to say that there is no place for experimentation and exploration in the world of pizza. Indeed, the vast array of toppings available to us today is a testament to human creativity and the desire to push boundaries. However, it is important to remember that these toppings are merely adornments, secondary to the core essence of what makes a pizza great. In the end, the plain cheese pizza is a humbling reminder that sometimes less is truly more. It is a call to strip away the excess, to focus on the essential, and to find joy in the simple pleasures that life has to offer. So the next time you find yourself overwhelmed by the myriad of choices at your local pizza joint, take a moment to consider the humble plain cheese pizza. In its unassuming austerity, you may just discover a profound truth about the nature of satisfaction and the beauty of simplicity in a complex world. Grab a slice. Happy munching. The unbearable lightness of peeling. A philosophical foray into fruit labeling. The naming of fruits may seem like a trivial matter. Yet, as we navigate the aisles of our local supermarkets, we find ourselves confronted with a perplexing phenomenon. The curious case of the easy peeler. This moniker, bestowed upon certain citrus fruits, raises profound questions about the nature of language, truth, and our relationship with the natural world. One might argue that the term easy peeler is merely a harmless marketing ploy designed to entice consumers with the promise of convenience. After all, in our fast-paced, efficiency-obsessed society, the prospect of a fruit that readily sheds its skin is undeniably appealing. However, upon closer examination, we discover that this promise is often nothing more than a deceptive illusion. Far too frequently, these so-called easy peelers prove to be anything but. We find ourselves engaged in a frustrating battle with stubborn rinds, our fingers sticky with citrus oil, as we struggle to liberate the juicy segments within. In these moments, we are forced to confront the harsh reality that the name Easy Peeler is not a factual description, but rather a misleading label that fails to capture the true nature of the fruit. This realization leads us to a deeper philosophical conundrum: the power of language to shape our perceptions and expectations. By assigning a name to a fruit, we imbue it with certain qualities and characteristics, regardless of whether they align with reality. In the case of the easy peeler, we are sold a fantasy, a promise of effortless consumption that is rarely fulfilled. Moreover, the use of such vague and ambiguous terminology obscures the true identity of the fruit in question. Is it a mandarin, a clementine, a tangerine, a hybrid of some sort? By forsaking the proper names of these fruits in favor of a catchy but meaningless moniker, we sever our connection to the rich history and diversity of the natural world. In a sense, the easy peeler represents a microcosm of our increasingly disconnected relationship with food and its origins. As we become more reliant on pre-packaged, heavily marketed products, we risk losing touch with the fundamental essence of what we consume. We forget that each fruit has its own unique character, flavor, and story, and that by embracing this diversity, we enrich our culinary experiences and our understanding of the world around us. So, what is the solution to this linguistic and existential quandary? Perhaps it lies in a return to simplicity and authenticity. Let us demand that our supermarkets label their fruits with their proper names, so that we may know exactly what we are purchasing and consuming. Let us recognize that the true joy of eating lies not in the ease of peeling, but in the appreciation of the fruit's inherent qualities. And if, perchance, we encounter a fruit that truly defies classification, a monstrous hybrid that blurs the lines between species, let us approach it with curiosity and wonder rather than attempting to conceal its nature behind a contrived name. For in the end, it is only by embracing the complex, messy reality of the world that we can hope to find true nourishment, both for our bodies and our souls. In conclusion, the Easy Peeler serves as a reminder of the importance of language in shaping our understanding of reality. By questioning the names we assign to the fruits we consume, we open ourselves up to a deeper appreciation of the natural world and our place within it. So let us peel back the layers of deception and rediscover the true essence of the fruits that sustain us. One honest label at a time. Thank you for listening. Happy peeling. Toasting transformation. Finding wisdom in uneven slices. There is an ancient Zen koan that asks, "What is the sound of one hand clapping?" This riddle has perplexed and enlightened countless seekers of wisdom throughout the ages. But I propose a more pressing question, one that strikes at the very heart of our daily existence. Which side of the toast should bear the butter? In our fast-paced modern world, we often find ourselves rushing through the simple rituals that make up the fabric of our lives. The act of making toast is one such ritual, a humble yet profound moment of transformation. The bread, once soft and pliable, undergoes a metamorphosis through the application of heat, emerging crisp and golden, ready to receive the gift of butter, jam, or marmalade. But what happens when the toasting process goes awry, when one side of the bread is kissed by the flames more fervently than the other? Do we discard the imperfect slice and start anew, striving for an unattainable ideal of golden equilibrium? No, my friends! We must embrace the burnt side, for therein lies the path to true enlightenment. The burnt side of the toast represents the challenges and imperfections that we face in life. It is the side that has been touched by the fire of adversity, the side that bears the scars of our struggles, and yet it is this very side that is most deserving of our attention, our care, and our nourishment. When we spread the butter or jam on the burnt side of the toast, we are engaging in a profound act of acceptance and compassion. We are acknowledging that life is not always perfect, that we all have our flaws and blemishes. By embracing the burnt side, we are saying, "I see you, I accept you, and I will nourish you just as you are." This simple act of culinary kindness can have far-reaching implications in our lives. When we learn to accept and appreciate the imperfections in our toast, we begin to extend that same grace to ourselves and others. We start to see the beauty in the flaws, the wisdom in the wounds, and the strength in the scars. Moreover, the act of applying butter or jam to the burnt side of the toast can be seen as a metaphor for the art of living itself. Life is not about avoiding the burnt bits, the challenges, and the difficulties. Rather, it is about learning to dance with them and finding the sweetness that lies hidden within the char. As we go through our days, let us remember the lesson of the burnt side of the toast. Let us not shy away from the imperfections and the challenges that come our way. Instead, let us meet them with open hearts and a generous spirit, ready to spread the butter of compassion and the jam of joy. The choice of which side of the toast to butter may seem trivial. But it is in these small, seemingly insignificant moments that we have the opportunity to practice the art of living fully, deeply, and authentically. So, the next time you find yourself standing over the toaster, contemplating the uneven shades of brown before you, think on. The burnt side is beckoning. Embrace it. Nourish it. And savor the complex flavors that life has to offer. For in doing so, you may just find yourself one step closer to wisdom and fulfillment. Thank you, and happy toasting. Pepper Potts and Paupers. A sprinkle of wisdom on condiments and class. Ah, the pepper grinder, that curious contraption that has found its way onto the dinner tables of the middle class, a symbol of sophistication and refined taste. But is it truly an instrument of culinary enlightenment or merely an affectation? A pretentious attempt to elevate one's status in the eyes of dinner guests. Let us, for a moment, consider the humble pepper pot, filled with pre-ground pepper, ready to dispense its spicy bounty at a moment's notice. You see, the pepper grinder is a relatively recent invention, a product of the Industrial Revolution and the rise of the middle class. Prior to this, pepper was a luxury item, a spice reserved for the wealthy and the powerful. It was ground by hand, using a mortar and pestle, and sprinkled sparingly over dishes to enhance their flavor. But with the advent of the pepper grinder, pepper became accessible to the masses, a symbol of the democratization of taste. However, in our quest for convenience and efficiency, have we lost something essential? The act of grinding pepper at the table, of twisting that little knob, and watching the peppercorns fall into the grinder, is a ritual, a performance. It draws attention to the act of seasoning, making it a spectacle rather than a simple task. But is this really necessary? Is it not more authentic, more honest, to simply shake some pre-ground pepper onto our food and be done with it? Consider the pepper pot, that humble vessel of ground pepper. It sits on the table, unassuming and unpretentious, waiting to be called upon. When we need pepper, we simply pick it up, give it a shake, and let the pepper fall where it may. There is no fuss, no ceremony. Just the pure and simple act of seasoning. The pepper pot is a testament to the virtue of simplicity, of letting the ingredients speak for themselves without the need for elaborate rituals. Moreover, the pepper pot is a more effective means of delivering pepper to our food. When we grind pepper at the table, we often end up with uneven distribution, with some bites being over-seasoned while others are left bland and uninteresting. But with pre-ground pepper, we can ensure a consistent level of seasoning throughout the dish, allowing the flavors to meld and harmonize in a way that is both pleasing to the palate and true to the integrity of the ingredients. But perhaps there is a deeper philosophical lesson to be gleaned from the pepper pot. In our modern world, we are often seduced by the allure of the new and the novel, and the promise of progress and innovation. We are told that we must constantly upgrade and improve, and that what was good enough yesterday is no longer sufficient today. But the pepper pot reminds us that sometimes the old ways are the best ways, and that there is wisdom in tradition, and value in simplicity. So the next time you sit down to a meal, consider the pepper pot. Embrace its humble charm and its unpretentious functionality. Let it be a reminder that sometimes the most authentic and effective things in life are the simplest. The true sophistication lies not in elaborate rituals, but in the honest and unadorned appreciation of the essential. And as you sprinkle that pre-ground pepper onto your food, take a moment to savor the flavor, to appreciate the pure and unadulterated essence of the spice, and to remember that, in the end, it is the substance that matters, not the form. For the pepper pot, in all its humble glory, is a symbol of the enduring value of simplicity, of the virtues of authenticity and effectiveness. It is a reminder that, in a world obsessed with progress and innovation, sometimes the wisest course of action is to embrace the tried and true, to find beauty and meaning in the unassuming and the everyday. So let us raise a toast to the pepper pot, that unsung hero of the dinner table, and let us savor the simple pleasures of a life well seasoned. Happy shaking. Grilling the notion of steak supremacy. There is a peculiar phenomenon in modern gastronomy, a pervasive belief held with almost religious fervor that steak reigns supreme in the hierarchy of meats. Restaurants pride themselves on offering the finest cuts of beef, grilled to perfection and served sizzling on the plate. Men gather around barbecues, prodding at ribeyes and strips, proclaiming their prowess over the flame. Steak, it would seem, has become a proxy for masculinity itself. But let us pause for a moment and consider, is steak truly deserving of this lofty position? Is it the apex of carnal delights, or might this belief be a manifestation of something more insidious lurking in the male psyche? When we strip away the cultural associations and examine steak purely on its merits, what do we find? A slab of muscle tissue, often tough and chewy, requiring significant mastication to render it fit for swallowing. The flavor, while occasionally robust, is more often bland and one note, relying heavily on the char of the grill and accompanying sauces to provide interest. Compare this to the succulence of slow-cooked pork belly, the rich gaminess of lamb, or the delicate sweetness of lobster. Each offers a complexity and depth that steak, in its simplicity, cannot match. Yet these meats are often relegated to the status of mere side dishes, orbiting around the centerpiece of a hulking piece of cow. So why then does steak hold such a vaunted position, particularly among men? Could it be that in a world where traditional notions of masculinity are increasingly challenged, steak provides a tangible symbol of virility, a way to assert one's dominance and project an image of rugged, primal manhood? The act of consuming a steak, of tearing into the flesh with one's teeth, may be seen as a way to connect with our ancient hunter-gatherer past. But this nostalgia for a romanticized version of prehistory, where men were providers and women were gatherers, is ultimately a facade. In reality, the division of labor in hunter-gatherer societies was far more fluid and egalitarian than this reductive narrative suggests. Moreover, the fetishization of steak as a symbol of male virility is not only misguided but potentially harmful. It perpetuates the notion that to be a real man, one must embrace a narrow and rigid set of behaviors and preferences. It dismisses the validity of alternative expressions of masculinity and reinforces toxic stereotypes. The truth is, there is no inherent connection between one's choice of protein and their gender identity or strength of character. A man who prefers a delicate fillet of sole is no less masculine than one who tears into a bloody hunk of ribeye. Reducing the complexity of human experience to such simplistic binaries is reductive and limiting. In the broad canvas of life, steak is but one small part of the vast tapestry of culinary delights available to us. To elevate it to the status of some sort of holy grail of gastronomy is to do a disservice to the rich diversity of flavors, textures, and cultural traditions that make up the world of food. So let us enjoy our steak, if that is our preference, but let us not imbue it with undue significance. Let us recognize that true strength and confidence come not from conforming to narrow expectations, but from embracing the fullness of our individual humanity. And let us celebrate the myriad ways in which we can nourish ourselves, both physically and spiritually, free from the constraints of gender stereotypes and cultural dogma. Happy chewing! And so, dear listeners, as we come to the end of our gastronomic journey, let us take a moment to reflect on the nourishment we have received, not just for our bodies, but for our minds and spirits as well. In exploring the philosophical dimensions of food, from the lowly cheese pizza to the lofty heights of the easy peeler, we have tasted the rich complexity of life itself. We have seen how even the most mundane acts of cooking and eating can be imbued with profound meaning and significance. As we go forth from this episode, let us carry with us a renewed sense of appreciation for the simple pleasures of the palate. Let us approach our meals with a sense of mindfulness and gratitude, recognizing that every bite is an opportunity to connect with the world around us and with the deeper truths of our existence. And let us remember, above all, to savor the journey, for in the end, it is not the destination that matters, but the taste of each moment along the way. Until next time, dear friends, may your plates be full, your glasses overflowing, and your hearts ever hungry for the feast of life. And now a moment of gratitude for our sponsor, the Artisanal Olive Concierge. In a world where the ordinary and the mundane are all too pervasive, these fine purveyors of bespoke olive stuffing services have dared to ask the question, why settle for the standard fare when you can elevate your olive experience to the level of art? Picture this. A team of highly trained olive artisans, meticulously hand-stuffing each briny orb with a delectable array of gourmet fillings, tailored to your every whim and fancy, from the classic pimento to the daring truffle and goat cheese and the exotic kimchi. These stuffed olives are not mere appetizers, but rather edible expressions of your unique taste and sophistication. The Artisanal Olive Concierge reminds us that even the smallest details of our lives are worthy of our attention and care. So if you live in Knightsbridge, Kensington, or Mayfair, and require something special for your next soiree, contact the Artisanal Olive Concierge via their website, or call Ken on 07873185569. That's 07873185569. You won't regret it. Happy stuffing!